Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Hub.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good talking football with you, Hub. We're doing real well. Looking forward to seeing all of the crew out there. I guess we have three of them in succession, right? Friday, Monday, and Tuesday.
That's correct.
We're punching them out and then getting the hell out of there once the initial buzz dies. But there are some good stories. There was a ton of the news conference initially devoted to the kicking position. But I just would be curious, things that are more at the front of my mind, the health of HaHa Clinton Dix and what you think about the tight end position. What do you think of Clinton Dix so far? What do you know about his injury?
Well, you know, they're telling us it's just a knee strain. I actually coincidentally did a one-on-one interview with him the last day of minicamp. And he was not, visibly bothered in any way as we kind of stood and talked. He did have some participation that day. So this is apparently something that either got tweaked on that last day or was tweaked but not bad enough that they sat him down. Our understanding is there has been no surgery, that this is precautionary. It's a guy who in 5 years has never missed a game. So I don't think you can get too concerned about it. And hopefully they're just being very careful with him.
Do you believe, or did you believe when they made the signing, that this is a win for the Bears, HaHa Clinton Dix over Adrian Amos?
There's no question this is an upgrade. You got a lot of Packers fans who have been going crazy on Clinton Dix for the last year and a half or so, and there's no question that his play dropped off a little bit. It slipped in the last couple of years, particularly his appetite for contact. But you're talking about, first of all, what people don't realize is that the two of them are 4 months apart. You know, you keep thinking, well, Clinton Dix is the older guy or whatever, but they're both 26. Clinton Dix won't be 27 till the end of the year. They're 4 months apart. And in 5 years in the league, Clinton Dix has 17 interceptions and 4 forced fumbles. In 4 years in the league, Amos has 4 interceptions. I think he might have 5 forced fumbles, you know, right there. But Clinton Dix is one of the best ball hawking safeties in the NFL. Adrian Amos is just a guy, you know, and he had a better year in his fourth season than he did his first three, but this is a guy who still got benched halfway through his third season. So I love Adrian Amos. He's a great kid, but there's no debating it. I mean, Clinton Dix has been a better football player over their NFL careers.
If I remove kicker and I remove how much of a jump Trubisky takes in year two from the offense, from the discussion, what's the biggest Bears training camp story?
Probably the tight ends. Mac mentioned it. It's the one place on the depth chart where I don't think people are actually excited going in. I mean, you can make a case for what's happened at almost every other position. I still have some nagging concerns about the running game, not because I doubt it or I don't think it's going to be better, but just because you can't assume it's better just because they swapped out some players. And I will tell you, Leonard Floyd is going to be a huge story because the Bears are making it a huge story. Everybody has raved about the offseason that he's had, and we know he had an excellent second half of the season. So I'd say probably in that order, after kicker, it's going to be the tight ends, then the running game, and then keeping an eye on Floyd and seeing if he becomes a Pro Bowl-type player.
So let's go over the depth chart at tight end. Trey Burton, all signs, he's going to be ready to go when they start camp. And a clean slate, all that stuff that happened at the end of last year is a memory, right? Everything's good.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, Mac, but the guy ended up needing surgery. Do people still want to suggest that this was some kind of mental suggestion, you know, issue or anxiety? That was ridiculous. I mean, it's unfortunate that the injury, you know, was discovered and occurred when and how it did. But the guy was hurt. He's had it fixed. He had an excellent first year with the Bears and can do more. Yeah, so I'm excited about Trey Burton. I think the question is he is a move tight end, Burton. He's always going to be a move tight end. He's a willing blocker. but he's not a great blocker. And in 12 personnel and running situations, he may not be the second guy you want on the field. You can put him there. But with one tight end and 11 personnel and running situations, it's got to be Adam Shaheen, unless it's going to be a lesser player. I mean, you know, Ben Broniker is a guy going into his fourth season who in 3 years has been a solid special teams guy and, you know, interesting kid with the Harvard background and all that, but probably isn't going to emerge as your number one tight end. And the Brad Sewell experiment is interesting, but I think that's really just more having him for 12 personnel and in obviously running situations. You can put him and Shaheen out there and you can block it real well if you want to run from your two tight end set.
I think that's their intention, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, clearly it is. Now, they're telling us, oh, Sewell's a good athlete. And he's working on his hands and he's dropped some weight. But let's be honest about it. What this move really is it's a backup plan for if Adam Shaheen doesn't become the player they want. You know, it gives him more blocking at the position. Shaheen's a great kid. He's worked hard. He was the most impressive guy in Bourbonnais last year prior to, you know, that injury occurring week two in exhibition games against Denver. He's had a good summer again. But until he does it on the field, he's still a Division III guy and a big body, you know. And so I don't think it's a dire situation, but I think it's the most curious one, and it's one where you really have to cross your fingers and hope that you see the most improvement.
The Bears start early with a Thursday night game. They have four preseason games instead of five, so they're getting to camp at a later date than they did last year because they're not in the Hall of Fame game. Do you expect Matt Nagy to repeat how he handled training camp in the preseason in terms of starters and veterans not really playing?
You know, Dan, that's a great question because my answer 2 days ago would have been, yeah, you know, the main purpose we believe is a team that had been among the most injured in the league in 2016 and 2017 was one of the healthiest in 2018. And that was one of the reasons they did it. And whether that's the reason that they were healthy or not, I don't know, but it seemed to work. And so, yeah, you would expect them to repeat it. But then really not even looking at that issue, but talking about something else, I asked Nagy on Sunday in Decatur about the use of David Montgomery and the idea that if he's not, you know, Matt has told us that his offense doesn't lend itself to a running back getting 15, 18, 20 touches a game consistently. So my question was, well, with all your hopes for Montgomery and with Tariq Cohen and Mike Davis there, how are you going to find out what Montgomery can really do if he doesn't get, you know, 20 touches a game? And his answer was, well, you're going to see an awful lot of them in preseason. Now, you know, you certainly wouldn't have if he was a penciled in starter last year. So does that suggest that they are going to play these guys a little bit more with one less game, a few less practices? I don't think so, but I think you'll see more of some select players. You're not going to see more of Trubisky. You're not going to see more of Mack or, right, you know, Floyd or Hicks. But I think you will see a little bit more of these tight ends. You will see a little bit more of these running backs because they got to be ready. The other thing that Matt pointed out is that opening on Thursday night is a big difference because not only do they have extra training camp time, but coming out of camp with all the restrictions on contact and pads, you've basically got, you know, 2-3 practices after the final cut to get ready. So they're going to have to play these guys a little bit more. My guess would be maybe that third preseason game in Indianapolis, which could be a pretty good test.
Hub, tell our listeners a little bit more about Mike Davis, because I'm starting to wonder a little bit, not suspect it, but I'm starting to wonder if he's a little bit of a wild card that not many of us are thinking about who could play a pretty significant role.
You know, Mac, he is a huge wild card. This is one of those where I get myself in trouble because I try and just be honest and objective, and people think, well, you don't like Mike Davis. I love Mike Davis. The kid bought his mother a house. I mean, how can you not love him, you know? But as a football player, he was a fourth-round pick out of South Carolina 4 years ago, spent 2 years in San Francisco with one of the worst running back rooms in the league, and he couldn't really get on the field. They let him go. He gets picked up by Seattle, who 2 years ago had one of the worst running back rooms in the league, and he couldn't claim playing time. Now, last year, he finally got, I want to say it was 5 or 6 starts before Chris Carson took over, had his best year, but he had one game against Arizona. I think it was week 2 or week 3. They had the 32nd ranked run D in the league, and he put up 100 yards. Over the course of 4 years in the league, he's only managed to get into 35 games. He's only started, I want to say, 9. And he's a 3.5 yards a carry guy. And, you know, Jordan Howard is gone because he was just 3.7 or 3.9 last year, whatever it was. So, I you know, he's a different style than Howard, and they think he fits Matt's offense. But I don't know how you project this. And what was really interesting was after I asked the question about Montgomery, and they talked about where he was at, and Ryan Pace came right out and said, he's done everything we expected. We love him so far, but he hasn't had pads on yet. And so now we got to see what happens, you know, with some real football. They then turned around talking about Mike Davis and say, people are going to be surprised. This guy has been outstanding during the summer, and we're really excited about where we're at. Well, if you can't tell what Montgomery's doing, you know, in these offseason practices, how did Davis suddenly get to be a better football player? So they like him. They've seen things on tape. He's not a bad football player. But the idea that he could actually be the number one and Montgomery's not that critical, I don't see how they can make that case. So it's going to be really interesting to watch, not just through Bourbonnais, but the first couple weeks of the season.
Do you think the opening day kicker's on the roster?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance it's Eddie Pinheiro. I know that he's a well-thought-of player. He would have been the Raiders kicker last year. He had won that job in training camp. Then he tore a groin right before the season started. And so, you know, he's well-thought-of. You can see that he's got a better leg than the other seven guys that were there. You can see the velocity.
Seven.
You can tell it in the way it comes off the field. The ball comes off his foot, the sound. And they like him, and he was very accurate and kicked in pressure situations in the SEC. Now, that said, I think they like Fry. And again, we were a little surprised on Sunday when Ryan kind of unprovoked mentioned that they're watching the waiver wires. And so I asked him, are you looking for one or two veteran kickers who you know might be out there? Or are you just watching the waiver wires? And he said, no, he said there's a couple situations we've identified that we know are tight. So there's obviously a veteran or two who may get cut, who he might be interested in. But at the end of the day, the way this is shook out, it seems most likely to me that Eddie Pinheiro is going to be their kicker on opening day.
Do you know who those guys might be? Where those jobs, there's a competition where you might be able to get a veteran?
Yeah, I mean, they were clearly other teams that have multiple veteran kickers in camp. And this is something every team does. It's not unique to the Bears. I don't want to pretend I've got some scoop here. But it was just surprising to hear Pace go there because he could have just as easily left it as we've got these two guys and we'll see. So minimally, he acknowledged the competition is not over yet. We knew that, but he also acknowledged that there may be more auditions coming, and it just depends. And you probably won't know until the final cut, which would really be interesting because it's hard to see them going all through camp choosing Pinheiro or Fry and then deciding 2 days, 3 days before the first game to let one of them go and bring in a veteran.
That's what I'm rooting for.
I think that'd probably be the only choice. But I don't know that that's the best way to go. Again, no. This Pinheiro looked like an NFL kicker. So that's what I think we got to keep an eye on during training camp.
Was the volume of questions asked of both the head coach and the general manager at the introductory news conference disproportionate regarding the kicking situation? I mean, did it need – I don't know how excessive it was if it ate up half of the news conference. It sure – I know it started that way. 12 of the first 14 questions, I guess, were about the kicker.
Well, not only that, but 13 of the first 14 questions were directed at Pace. And so now there is a reason for that, though. We don't get a lot of access to Ryan during the season,
right,
whereas we get to talk to Matt Nagy every day. And so I think that was a big part of it. A disproportionate number of questions about the kicker. It may have felt that way, but a lot of them were kind of, you know, one word or one sentence answers. And I would say of the 29 minutes that we spent together, probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes were on the kicker. That normally would be a lot, but when you think about how the season ended, I guess you understand it. So it felt a little out of whack, but it did settle down once we got deeper into the press conference.
I am absolutely rooting for the 10 kickers at minicamp, the 2 kickers at training camp, go through the entire preseason with these two guys, and then they ultimately cut both of them, and it's some schlub from another team that we didn't talk about for the last 6 months. That is now my new goal for this offseason, Hub. Just for the amount of time wasted on it. Like that would just be so much chef's kiss. That would be beautiful.
I thought, and this is me criticizing my peers and comrades, which I never do, but I try not to do because it's not appropriate. But the amount of time that was spent on the 8 kicker, you know, clown show during OTAs was that was just kind of media silliness, you know. But now that we're down to these two, I just, you know, I get what you're saying, Danny, but I don't know that it's the best thing for the football team.
Neither do I.
Yeah, and then suddenly a couple of days before the first game, you got another guy coming in here. So that's why I'm guessing it probably won't happen.
No, I have no idea if it's the best thing for the football team. I just think it would be hilarious for us. Thank
Good
you, Hub.
Talk radio stuff.
Good stuff, Hub. We'll see you later in the week.
All right, guys, take care.
We'll see Hub in Bourbon. Wouldn't that be just perfect? All of the kicker from the AAF, kickers from Arena League, kickers that haven't kicked since college 3 years ago.
Sebastian Janikowski, come on, get on the next flight to Chicago. You're only here for 3 days, and then the Packers and Bears play each other. That would be perfect.
It would just be great. And then, like, Matt Bryant's the kicker the Monday before the game. Okay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.